Today we are so, so lucky to have just such an amazing guest. I mean,
we're so honored.
We are in awe that you're here.
Shut up.
Did you know that?
It's Mamrie Hart.
She's like a big deal.
Mamrie's a big deal.
Wow. I saw a photo of her on a red carpet.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen so many photos.
Shellacked from head to toe.
From head to toe. One time, Mamrie Hart wore a leather dress on a red carpet.
It was a very warm event.
Oh, no.
And we had a party afterwards, and literally it was a pool. Oh. It was like...
I'm surprised that your tanner didn't just like melt off your legs.
You know what, ma'am? For anyone listening, if you'd look at Dirty 30 premiere pics,
I'm going
Hannah
to
is making fun of me because she was white as a ghost.
I was white as a ghost.
I was wise enough to get a spray tan.
These are things you learn when you start to hang out with cool peeps like you. Like,
I know.
Oh, is everyone spray tanned? I didn't know that.
Dude,
it's all a facade.
Otherwise, you just look like a ghost.
Yeah. Oh, the entire industry is just, it's all fake. People like are taping their eyes up and, putting butt stuff in their faces. I mean.
Butt stuff in their faces.
Medical
terms.
Medical way. In a medical way, not just in a sex way. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but they do that too.
I have thought that those little sponges everyone uses just look like butt plugs.
Yeah. The fake beauty blenders.
Yes.
I don't use those. Do you?
Only for butt plugging.
Oh, okay. Good.
Only
well,
as
of course it gets real blue real quick. Blue as in blue comedy.
Oh, I thought you meant blue as in my butt had like a weird blue condition. My face wasn't horror so much as sheer confusion. Yeah, it gets real blue real quick. Mamrie Hart, for those of you who might not know, no relation, oddly enough. Though I do think that we should do
I think a genetics test
and see.
I think we could go back. And even if we're like cousins to the millionth degree, thing about cousins. You can still just say cousins.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Even if we're like 20th, 5th, 19th, we could just be like, 100 millionth.
Yeah,
cousins.
This is my cousin.
Oh my God. Then we could start telling people we're cousins.
I know.
You must have some common ancestor like going back.
We must.
Probably a badass too. Probably from like, what is Hart? Is that like Dutch or something?
I don't.
I think, is it German?
It's German. My family's Hart from Hertz, which is German.
The Hertz?
Yeah.
Oh. It just sounds like they're trying to do a Scottish accent.
Yeah. Hey, the Hertz. The Hertz. But no, I'm going to produce that video. I'll make it. And it'll be us. We'll do the spit test.
I love it.
Boom. Then we'll have, people do gender reveal. We'll be cousins reveal.
Cousins reveal.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait to have a cousin party.
Oh my God. Then we could be kissing cousins.
No, we couldn't.
Oh.
Shut it down.
My butt plugs. I will say just a quick thing, friendly note that at the Dirty 30 premiere, I posted a picture of me in front of Grace and Mabry with one of my favorite captions of all time, which is a friendly like flight attendant letting these Amazon goddesses board the plane. Aww. I'll show you that picture. We'll put it up on the Hanalyze Twitter so you guys can see it too,
yes,
because it's
please.
Accurate.
Hands in a dress.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how everybody knows I'm white as a ghost.
I do enjoy how tall Grace and Mamrie are compared to you.
It's enjoyable.
They are tall.
And I say that with love.
Everyone in my life is taller than me. And I think it's really good because if I was even the same height or taller, I think people would be like, God, Hannah's sick.
You need variety. Yeah. You know, you don't want to look at a cityscape and every building be the same size.
Yeah, no.
You need to pop up and down.
We need the up and down. And that way also I seem like less bossy maybe.
I was going to say, it's like
keeps me humble.
Because you're like you're 5'2".
My height. 5'3".
And sorry,
3 quarters.
Sorry.
Dare I say 5'4".
Yeah, see, it's like you're like a little spitfire.
Yeah. Your height just makes you go from bossy to scrappy.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like you're scrappy dude.
Scrappy dude.
Oh. Guys, we're here because we have the lucky privilege of having Mamrie Hart join us. And what we want to talk about really is origin stories, but then also something that you helped me learn, which is what is performance anxiety?
Yes.
What is performance? I mean, you actually have a degree in theater, correct?
I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a degree in theater and then communications, but I did like performance studies with that. But I didn't really like I didn't perform much in college.
No?
Yeah, it's a lot more just reading plays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And just researching. So it's like
theory.
Yeah, I did more time on like karaoke stages than I did on actual stages in college.
Well, yeah, but you write, you produce, mm-hmm. you perform, you dabbled in directing.
Still trying to do it. Still trying to get in there, you know?
I'm ready.
Trying to get that female Let's perspective.
Make a short
Don't
film.
Give up.
Will you fund it?
This film is shorter right. than that. Yeah.
Oh, short right. film, I forget that people are still invoice. Like, women's stories aren't viable.
Right.
Commercially. You're like, mm-hmm. is it 2018?
For no. those of you listening, she looked at her wrist like there was a watch there. She was doing great object work that you guys were not privy to.
Oh, thank you, Mamrie.
For
oh
those
my gosh,
of you.
Object work. Yes.
For those of you watching, how
are you doing that?
Okay, but so my origin stories. Well, I mean, performance mm-hmm. is something that has really been in your family. You know, like, I know everything about you. And right. so it's kind of hard.
I know, everything. Right? Isn't it weird?
It's hard to interview someone that you know so well.
Totally.
But for those who might not know, your dad was actually an actor.
Yeah. Actually, my parents met in college when they were both getting theater degrees. Yeah, they met, like, my mom was doing costuming stuff and my dad was acting. And then my dad, they moved to New York out of college and he did plays. And my mom pumped out children. And then...
the hardest
he
job.
Was, yeah, he right? wrote plays?
No, he was just an actor and did, like, commercials and then got a TV show and was then on that for, like, 8 years. So
oh my God.
I kind of, like, grew up on a TV set.
You must have the most fun holidays.
No.
Oh, no. I think that if it's so wrong. I thought it'd just be everyone be like, hey, singer.
No, we're not big holiday people.
Mamie's a child of divorce.
I'm a child, yes.
Oh dear.
So you grew up on...
I was totally fine with it.
How old were you when your parents got divorced?
Okay, well, here's the nutty thing. I think they actually got divorced when I was in fourth grade, or they told me, but they'd already been separated for years.
Really?
It was just that
were they like, we're gonna shock you right now?
Yeah, no, I got sat down on the bed at the Davy Crockett Inn in San Antonio and told, like, your parents are getting, we're getting a divorce, and
your parents aren't us, actually. You are a princess.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the beginning of the princess.
That would have explained so much. but no, they didn't live together from the time I was three until then because my dad was on the TV show. And so he lived several states away and would just come home to visit. So for me, that was like totally normal. But for them, they were like separated and it was an easier way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When?
Dang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were always going between or would your dad just come to the...
thought dad slept on couches. That's what I thought was like normal. You thought that was dad's thing. I was like, that's what dads do.
Isn't that so great though? Like,
as a kid.
Okay, well, it's great when you grow up with something, you're like, that's normal. It's like, yeah.
Like my kids are going to grow up thinking keeping deodorant by the door is like a normal thing. And then when they're teenagers and they go to somebody's house, they're like, where's your door deodorant? They're like, what? Then they'll come home and be like, why are you guys such freaks?
I love it.
But why don't you want to be like everybody else?
Don't you want to like create fake holidays and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because you want to be a mom.
Yeah, I do. But climate change has me really pretty freaked out, man.
Has that affected your desire to procreate?
It has affected my desire to procreate. I feel like now, whatever guilt I have at, like, manifesting a baby, I'm like, man, we really should adopt. And then also we should adopt a pack of wild dogs.
Well, yeah. I'm 100%. I don't think I can have kids. And who knows? That could change.
Yeah.
But because I'm so obsessed with my dog's safety, like I have an anxiety dream at least twice a week that she ran away or something happened.
Oh, no.
So if I had a human, I just don't know if I could, like I'd be
I know
on the couch just scared. Just
it's
holding
scary.
It.
It's really scary because it's like when having a child is like having your heart walk around outside your body, you know, and then you're just like, oh, God, I hope they're OK. Are they OK right now? And then the reality of climate change is that when they were about would be 22, 23, which, by the way, guys, we'll be like in our 50s. So, like, I'm serious. We got to figure out our commune and, like, our situation, you know? Just, this is the prepper in me.
And we need to dismantle capitalism, like, right now.
I don't know. I don't know. I think we got to just, every man for themselves. Anyway, but that's not.
Sorry, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to completely
I'm
change.
I'm just saying, not using straws isn't going to cut it, okay? We're talking about our way of life, which can only be sustained by enslaving all these other people in other countries and destroying the world.
Okay. Yeah, anyways, it's true. That's
all. So I'm a performer.
Yeah. So how, Mamrie, tell them about saving the world from your perspective.
The world is ending, and my parents got divorced.
That's basically, I analyze this in a soundbite. Mm-hmm. The world is ending, and my parents got divorced. Mm-hmm. Hannah's parents are still together.
Really?
I'm always finding, you know what?
I think that's weird.
That's how I feel.
And you know what? I asked my parents, I was like, how do you guys do it? My dad was like, it's all your mom.
Really?
I love your dad.
It's your mom. It's too kind to
that's
leave
me. That's the perfect answer.
Your parents, I think, got a good thing going.
But yeah, they worked for it. They really appreciate and love each other. Yeah. And they're so different. But and they're like,
Hannah's parents are really delightful, and I would love to have them as a guest. As guests on the set. Yeah,
that'd be so funny. Oh my god,
I'd love that. Yeah, I'd love that.
Oh, and then you could like point out all the ways that we are similar that I don't see. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That's the best when you meet family.
Well, mm-hmm. When you meet Hannah's parents, it's literally like, oh wow, you guys combined and made Hannah Gelb. That's your baby is like, because I met Ella's parents, and I don't get that, but they're also divorced. Mm-hmm. You know, again. Only you and Erica have parents that are still together. Guys, are your parents still together? Let us know in the Analyze This podcast.
How does anyone stay together? I don't know.
Work.
Here's my question.
Fucking work, bro.
How do you stay with someone for so many decades and not hate them by the end?
Is it possible? Like you just know each other's rhythms so much. You know when to like bob and weave and to avoid them like a boxing match.
Yep. Oh, yep. Ella and I try not to get the same amount of drunk anymore. Like when
that's a great plan.
It's been great. Really Ella was drinking water at your party. Mm. And she like we just realized that we both are the type of people that like get combative if we've had too much to drink, and if one of us stays like a level or two down,
mm-hmm.
mwah, it's perfect. I did it in New York, you know, and she was like, I'm gonna start something, and I was like, I'm not gonna start anything, and you know me, I'm like, I'm gonna start something, and she's like, I'm in New York. She actually put me in the bedroom. Oh no, when we were bossing the Airbnb, I just had too much to drink, and she put me in the bedroom. I was like, good night, and I was like, I'm watching a documentary about lions. And like,
you're like, don't tell me how to live my life.
And she's like, I'm watching TV in the living room, and I come in, and I'm like. It's a bad documentary. And I like cuddled her on the couch. But that was something that we learned is that if one of us is stressed out or if we're traveling, we always have to keep a pace behind. You mm-hmm. know?
I hear that.
And trade it off.
I feel like that's relationships and friendships. Because
I'm
sorry, guys. I'm bringing us back to the topic.
Yes, thank you. I was going to say.
But like figuring out rhythms with performance stuff, because Hannah Hart and I have done many tours and whatnot, and so you can tell, like, Hannah knows, don't mess with me before a show.
Mamrie
like,
is
I
not.
I get so stressed and zoned in until the second we hit the stage, and then I'm having a blast.
Yep.
But like,
which is ironic because I get stressed out after a show. I'm always like, before.
Really?
Well, because I'm just like, okay, we got to fit it. Especially with our stuff, it was like, we did meet and greets after.
Yeah. When you do them before, it changes the game.
Oh, 100%. Way better. So we did meet and greets after. Then it was packing up all the supplies, getting all the merch, getting everything, blah. That's the part that stresses me out after a show. And like, but we know we like learned that about each other. So mm-hmm. a lot of it, guys, so the secret to a happy, healthy marriage is rhythm.
Yeah.
And then just figuring out rhythm. Well, your parents' marriage didn't work.
No, and I think it's accepting people for the way they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and sometimes you can accept them and realize you don't need to be around them.
Yeah. It's having the flexibility in the room and all that great stuff. Mamrie's got a great little boyfriend right now.
Oh,
I love him.
A great little boyfriend.
Oh. Love me some Chip. Love me some one. Chip.
He's a quality.
He's got this mustache and a smile that
and
just.
His name is Chip. That's great.
Isn't it?
Isn't that great?
It's just cute.
It's really
He's
cute.
He's got a southern accent.
And
he's from Georgia.
My favorite. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Would you like Chip?
If he has some friends, I do love a southern accent.
Hey, you know, one of his friends is coming to the thing tonight.
I can
tonight.
Just see, like, the Chip plus sign Mamrie, like,
it's pretty cute. Yeah. We've got a cute origin story.
I'm engaged, so.
I'd love to hear about it. Because I don't know how to meet people. So if you could,
Well, anyways, Chip's bringing a friend tonight.
Sorry, I keep getting us off topic. Oh, I just want to talk about boys and climate change
and a pack of wild dogs. But yeah, so in regards to that, so you spent time with your dad on the set. Mm-hmm. Like, did your, and what did your mom do as a career then?
My mom was a teacher. She taught high school English and theater. Mm-hmm. And like single mommed three kids who were all very outgoing and social. And so the house was always filled with people, or we were always out. You know, we were bad kids.
Yeah, they were bad kids.
I'm trying so hard not just to be like, we had a little toots.
Well, we, this is a podcast has an explicit rating. So you can, you can talk about how bad you are. Girl.
I was pretty good.
Yeah, she was the good one out of her siblings.
Isn't that shocking? Oh,
well, you probably had to hold together with for like, are you the oldest?
I was the baby.
Youngest.
Oh, you're the baby.
So, so I was like, I need to give this poor woman a break before she has a, before she has a breakdown. Yeah. Honestly.
Like, yeah. I see what happens here. And did, I've got to hold it together.
When do you think you first realized that you wanted, acting was a profession of choice? Did you ever want to be anything else?
You know, when I look back at it, I think all kids have the moments where they're like, I'm definitely a singer. Or, you know, it was, but it was always something in this, the vein of performance. I've never wanted to be a teacher or a doctor or anything of that sort.
Yeah, it was always performing.
There was a second where I thought I'd be a good private investigator, but that was just in high school, like because I caught my boyfriend lying. And but like I was so good at it.
How'd you do it? What happened? There was no texting.
Oh, no. No, because I remember there was like a day he said he was, what was it? It was all like completely innocent, but he said he was doing something. And then later I saw a picture of him with like a friend of his that was a girl. And I was like, no, you went and hung out with her. He was like, no, I didn't. I was like,
here's the proof.
That's the same stained shirt you wore. And I was like, whoa. I'm Monk.
Oh my God. Well, you know what you should do is make a show slash movie where you're a private investigator.
I'm trying.
I'm not worried. I think it's going to be made. I think you're going to make it.
Thank you.
Particularly not make it in like.
You got to think you're going to make it, kid.
That's so condescending. Yeah. I think you're going to make it, kid.
Well, but growing up, I mean, with exposure to Hollywood, I feel like something that people realize when they come to LA is how the machine works or how the entertainment industry works. And
but I didn't at all because when I was experiencing it, it was on a set in Covington, Georgia. You know what I mean? So I wasn't coming to Hollywood and seeing the inner workings. I was just going to this place where, like, you know, they filmed the show, and I've known these people since I was three.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What have you guys learned about the machine? Because I don't know what you mean when you say that. Like, what are like the myths that were shattered?
That's why they
like
call it an industry. It's the biz. Mm-hmm. It's a lot that goes into everything, and it's a total mindfuck.
Yeah.
like what?
I mean, I'm still learning, but even the idea that someone like a movie takes years before, you know, to get together before you ever are going to.
And despite how much effort you put into that and then years and years and years, it can just stop. Right. Like there are scripts that were held for 18 years or something gets bought or like, oh, we've been trying.
I have a script I sold 3 years ago. I'm on its 10th draft. You know what I mean? Whoa. And I still don't know if it'll ever be even read out loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then it's so amazing that like shitty movies still get made.
Right.
After going through
that's the shocking part.
That whole like so much work and so many people with so many different skills coming together.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know people, that was a fun thing to actually watch you experience on the first movie we did together, Camp Dakota. And but just learning like Hannah would like start to move stuff or like, you know, they're relighting. She'll be like, I'll move it. And it's like, no, Hannah, you're not allowed to.
Yeah, it's like it's not.
There's a specific job for every single minutia that goes into this. Mm-hmm. And probably a union.
Yeah. So,
like,
yes.
Really. Yeah. What is the name of the person who like moves lights?
Those are gaffers.
Gaffers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gaffers.
Like
there's all.
Samwise
Gamgee's. I had no. This is how ignorant I was. And how much I've learned. I had no idea how many people were on a movie set. And so on the first day of filming or something like that, I brought a dozen cupcakes.
It was the cutest.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. I brought a dozen cupcakes, but there were like 40 people there.
Oh my
you
God.
Know?
I feel like even I know that.
It was really cute.
No, I'm telling, because I made like, I act, quote unquote, acted in a 3-minute film.
Oh, ooh, tell us everything.
It was for a friend of mine who does producing and as like freelance, and he wanted to do this little filmmaking race. It was so hard to make a 3-minute movie. Mm-hmm. It took so much time, so much effort, so much editing, so much writing, so much carrying of equipment, and like holding lights. to make a 3-minute movie. I was like, I really appreciate every movie that gets made now, even if it's really bad.
Because I mean, yeah, it's an art. I feel like anyone who's ever picked up a camera and tried to record something realizes how much effort goes into making the myth. Right. And like making it come to life.
And acting is hard.
And especially too, I mean, that's another thing. I don't mean to just like keep tooting the Hannah horn, but like, but acting in front of those 40 people is a whole different beast than in front of a camera by yourself in your house, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone, I don't know how, I'm like, good actors do deserve $1 million because that is, how do you, because you have to be like, I'm okay with feeling stupid.
Yep.
In front of all these people. And I'm literally like shoving, like showing everyone my beating heart right now.
And sometimes
and
it might be like,
and then I'm going to do it 15 more times.
Yeah. Oh, right. And the director's going to be like, stop fucking my movie up with your shitty acting.
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh, you've worked with Michael Bay?
But like, yeah, no, it's terrifying. And then it's like, oh, okay, hey, I really love that you ripped your heart from your chest and like you did. And I've never had to like cry or anything like that, but like you did that. A little less.
Can you do it a different way?
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. So like, okay, so in the industry, there's a lot of different jobs you can have. When did you, you know, what did acting seem like to you as a kid? What made you, like, what was it in your mind's eye? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wanted to do exactly what I had experienced, like my dad doing. I thought like, you just go to New York, you book a TV show, and you're on it for 8 years.
And you did live in New York for a while, right?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I want to hear about those years.
She lived there for
a lot of reservations for people at restaurants. No, I went up there and I was acting. I think I always knew I wanted to act because I did plays in high school. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I knew I enjoyed it. The interesting thing, though, is that I didn't become as crazy passionate about it until I started writing my own stuff. Like, I was always like, I like acting and this is enjoyable, but had it the sliver in the back of my mind of people talk about if you want to be successful in such a like a lofty goal of, let's say, becoming a successful actor, like you've got to want it, you know, like you couldn't live if it didn't happen. And I was like, am I a poser?
What does that mean? How can it, does anyone do that? Like, what about all the doubts and the thinking about it?
I mean, it's kind of like, it's the only thing you'd want you to become that mentality, I think, is like the, it's got to be the only way you could live your life and the only goal you could want to accomplish. Like for me, I'd be like, well, no, I'll have a different career.
Like, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, isn't that, like, that just seems very unrealistic. That, like, that could be the only way that a person could live. Because there's so many ways to live.
But I feel like it's very closely tied to, and I know I'm on, like, you guys know a lot more about this topic than me because you have this podcast. But I feel like that's tied to people who are, like, narcissists.
Yeah.
To where it's less like, this is my passion, and more like, if I'm not famous,
I will die.
Like, the world cease to exist.
Yeah. Will stop turning.
Well, and then it's also like such an emotional, like, you kind of have to be.
Just ignore that
just
sound.
Ignore that sound.
Is there owls? As the elevator
yeah,
man?
Yeah. That's Hootie. Hootie who. Well, I was just going to say, I also feel like the emotional instability would be so hard. The highs and lows of the career itself, and then also the highs and lows you need to perform. Like to bring yourself up there and back down.
And it's, also
it's like people, a lot of people find substance abuse in that because it's like, like, you know, like Mad Men made John Hamm became like an alcoholic, you know? Like,
and Womanizer.
And Womanizer, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a lot of bad stuff. But what were you saying?
Oh, sorry. What was I saying? Oh, so I always like really enjoyed it, but I never knew how I was going to get there. And I think it wasn't until I decided, oh, I like writing and I want to write my own stuff that I was like, oh, I'm obsessed with this. Like once it became creating your own story as opposed to just going on auditions and being at the will of someone else is when I was like, oh, I can't get enough of this. Oh, like,
did you ever, and you know, again, like I have so much insight into Mamrie and we've had conversations similar to this. I guess it's like, so I learned everything in LA in like go like mode.
Yeah.
And were you ever like after an audition, I'm done? Like I feel terrible about myself right now, or like that disappointment, like how do you recover? Like
yeah.
Oh my God.
It's really, I feel like it becomes such a muscle of like letting it go, like walking out of the room and not giving a shit.
Whoa.
but
that's like a superpower.
Yeah, to really like let it roll off your back. I think it's a lot like auditions, who cares? If they don't like you, like we've been on the other side, I feel like, a few times in the casting aspect, where you literally go, they're fucking great, but they just, it's not what I had in my head.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you can take that and be like, I could be exactly what they want, except they need someone who's 4 inches taller, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think a bigger rejection is doing live performances and not getting the reaction. Mm. Like I did a performance recently by myself on stage, and it went terrible. And I just like felt such,
oh,
like, you know what I mean?
I can't, I
don't know. It's, yeah. That's so much different than an audition.
Was it like a, like stand up or like,
yeah.
Was it your one woman show?
It was me doing a bit like on a show, on a stand up show that I just felt so like, please, can I just open up a trap door and fall in?
Oh God. You know I mean? That feeling.
With auditions, it's like, okay, great. I didn't book this work. But with that, when you're like doing your own thing.
Oh yeah.
What is wrong with those people?
Yeah, what was wrong with those people?
They were idiots.
They were idiots is what that was.
Male loud comics.
Yeah.
That's probably, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the know your audience.
I'm just gonna look at my fake watch again. Like, wait, you're not a man?
This joke isn't about a blowjob.
You're going to talk about periods?
Is that a fake Google watch? And you are looking up my bio?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know that. I used a different hand the first time.
I know.
You've just got from wrist to bicep of watches, like a man selling them in the
park. I'm excited for when she pulls out her pocket watch.
Lots of...
Yeah, I can't wait for the steampunk watch.
Yeah.
The Flavor Flav clock.
It'll also transport us to a different time.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Wait, I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, wait, you please go ahead.
I gotta say, I can't answer that until we take a break.
Let's talk about pants. Dun, dun. Underpants, dun, talk about where, underwear, who's there, hey, yeah, this is a rap this time about Tomboy X, and it is really great and gives you confidence and some, you can fill in the blanks. Hey guys, I'm here to talk about my favorite podcast advertising moment of this exact second, which is now talking about Tomboy X. As you guys may or may not recall, it's time to stop wearing the underwear that does not make you feel confident. You should wear something comfy, something that allows you to shake your groove thing to your heart's extent. Yes, that was my phone sending off a text message noise. I don't know if you heard it or not. Anyway, the facts of the matter are this. Regardless of where you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that any body can feel comfortable in. So, to get yours, go to tomboyx.com/hanalyze and check out their special bundles and pack pricing. And guess what? Hanalyze this, listeners. Get an extra 15% off using the code Hanalyze. Again, the code is Hanalyze for an extra 15% off. So, ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/hanalyze. Wow. Imagine that.
And we're back. Mamrie Hart, last we heard, I believe you had a question.
I do have a question. I know we're like bouncing around all over the place, but I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about you getting into performing and like your anxiety of it all. I would like to know, you guys just did 2 live shows. You're not a person who is normally on stage. Were you anxious or did it feel casual because it's conversation and not like performance?
I felt,
it was podcast live. So that was interesting. Right. Yeah.
It's hard to say how, well, I mean, I was so nervous leading up to it. And then when we were on stage, I was like, oh, this is like, yeah, this is fun. Yeah.
It was nice having a laugh track.
Oh, yes.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
No. Not like an actual.
Like, do you guys pumped fake laughs through the audience?
That'd be so funny.
No.
We hired actually like a few.
Well, yeah. I think that like my fear was like, you know, I didn't know if it would translate as a laugh out loud podcast. Like people enjoy it and, you know, it's a podcast. And so my fear was that it was going to be quiet, but people laughed and
right.
I was surprised at that. Like it felt like doing, it was to be honest, it was a lot easier than doing like a live show, like what we did with No
right.
Filter, because it was just like this, except there were other people around hanging out, mm-hmm. and it was, mm-hmm.
and they were like really happy to be there, yeah. which was amazing.
Any new shows to plug?
I know, not at this point in time.
But if I had to do like my own, if I was doing like a stand up show, dear God.
Right.
That would be so scary.
I don't know if you know this. Hannah just completed 6 courses of improv or whatever.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She did improv on a stage with her team.
Right.
Where'd you take?
What?
Where'd you take classes?
Oh, sorry. I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. In San Diego at Finest City Improv.
Sweet.
Finest City.
Yeah. Oh, that helps. Like,
buco.
Yeah. But if you can go on stage and be like, all of a sudden, I'm just walking out here to pretending this whole scenario at a pizzeria exists. Like, you can sit and talk to your best friend on stage.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the podcast is easier, though.
Oh yeah. For sure.
For sure.
I'm saying it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, like, improv is still so hard. And I still am so like, oh, I'm not funny. Like, there's be like, the people didn't laugh uproariously at every single thing I said, so I'm a failure.
Yeah.
You know, just healthy stuff like that.
No, that's really scary. I do not do improv. I'm not nervous on a stage, like bantering and doing fun bits. But like, as far as just the structure of improv and like the rules and the game of it, it made me too anxious.
Thank you.
I took one class and I stopped going because I was like, I can't.
Same.
I'm physically trying to make myself sick to give myself an excuse not to go. I was like, I'm wishing a fever.
Yeah. No, it's too terrifyingly unplanned. Like, I like the Whose Line Is It Anyway style of improv where it's like one-liners and it's like every person, it's a game and every person is playing for themselves. I'm okay with, because if I fail, I fail and it only affects me.
Mm.
The fear of being responsible for the scene going down or whatever or any of it, or like, I just like that unspoken trust. Weesh, no.
Like, no, first of all, I don't trust other people.
No, hell no. I just met Roger. Like, there was a lot of.
And what if Roger's idea was bad?
Roger always pulls out a gun and has a sex scene.
Like, oh my God.
Oh my God. He's always pretends always we're in a Starbucks. Yeah.
I love Michael Scott taking improv on The Office.
Yes.
He pulls out a gun in every scene.
Yeah.
Like a fake gun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but a lot of people, when I was in New York and at this theater, is they would do improv classes for like companies and stuff just to help with public speaking, or not even really team building, more just it makes you so uncomfortable to get that silly and to think of stuff you'll be more comfortable in normal situations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Man, I still feel like I haven't quite like cracked the like magical. Well, I haven't gotten to the part of improv where I'm like, oh man, it's so uncomfortable and it's so great. I'm still like,
this sucks.
Well, do you have to keep doing it? Because you did it. You completed the course. Why do you have to keep going?
Well, I feel like it's still very important for like me as a human, because I still struggle so much with all the things that improv really helps you with.
Like the yes anding?
Yeah, and like not, and being like, just being okay. Like all of improv is just be okay. That's it. Just be okay with what's happening. And I'm still like, this isn't okay. This is not okay. This is not okay. And it's like, if you can just be like, no, it's okay. Everything is fine in improv. That's like what improv is.
And yeah, there's no wrong moves.
And I kind of think that the same applies to all performance arts, right? Like with acting too. It's like you have to be okay in discomfort and uncertainty.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then like life and stuff.
Yeah. I do not like either of those things.
Oh, I hate those things.
And so like, I find like I'll get an audition. If I get an audition, I read about it. And if I like it, I can't care too much because I'm not used to the disappointment. I can't. Right. I've never gotten anything I auditioned for. Not once.
I have not in years. Like commercials, I was great. But like anything else, I'm just a bad auditioner.
Mm.
And I think that's a whole other skill set.
Yeah, it's really hard.
And I get anxious too. Like if I have an audition,
it's like nothing else exists.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Some people are like, yeah, whatever. I got this audition. I'm like, it has to be in the morning because all I'm going to do is obsess about it. I can't like go to a meeting, talk about things.
And then go to an audition.
And then go, no.
I know.
I'm obsessed.
I know.
That's like a whole, I don't know how anyone gets anything. Like,
I know.
How do you not just be terrible because you're so nervous?
It's a weird line because if you care, like if it's like, and this is the thing I always juggle when I'm audition, if I audition, part of me is like, okay, don't care about it too much because if you don't get it, I'm going to try and like, I hate that feeling of rejection and disappointment, you know? So don't care too much. But care some, because if you don't care at all, you just won't go to the audition. Like, I'll just be like, oh, I'm not going to. Like, if I don't care, why am I doing this with my day?
Well, that's the thing.
But then I feel like that's the only time when it happens is someone like, oh, I was late. And then, that was my watch again. I was late. And then I happened to wander into audition. I didn't give a shit. And they were like, oh, you're perfect. And now you're Adam Driver.
See, I do that. That's how I rationalize being ill-prepared. Is I'm like, well, if I don't give a shit and whatever and I'm chill, then it'll be great. And then I never book anything. But my friend Beth, she was going to an audition. It was like a Southern woman kind of thing. And I got a drink with her after. And she was... her hair was curled and she had on press-on nails. And she was like, I just thought this character definitely has long nails. Whoa. And I'm like, and that's why you book the leads of pilots. And she, like, she goes all the way in.
See, so, I'm like, I don't, why would I know what this character, I need someone to tell me what this character is like. And then
I know.
What?
Yeah, it's, that's the thing that, like, it's such bravery, but also... It's such a confusing art form to experience from the inside, mm-hmm. from how it looks on the outside.
Oh, it's so
brave. Looks like a blast.
I mean, but it is so brave.
It's like, so fucking brave.
I mean,
brave.
It's like repeatedly walking into a street with cars driving.
And no matter how big you get, this is the other thing that kind of fucks me up about entertainment. No matter how successful you are, the second a project's over, you have the anxiety again of what am I
going
to do next?
What's the next thing? Mm. What am I going to be like just... kicked out of the industry? Am I gonna make a comeback in 10 years?
Yeah.
And
I get two Oscars now? Should I get another? Like, what are you like, right. People like Meryl Streep, I'm sure, still feel that same, like, well, this project's done, what's the next project?
100%. And the, like, the more successful you get, the more your star rises, like the more there is to fall. I know that's so negative, but I compare it to, like, I've been snowboarding a few times. It's been forever.
Wow.
But I'm not good at it, because what I found is that when I would get going, in my head, I'd go, the better I am at this, the faster I go, the more it's going to hurt when I fall. So I would like make myself, you know, that like that whole idea.
You need to keep
like,
it
fear
in
fear of success stuff, because you're like, well, if I don't, you know, succeed, then I can't fail.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you have to get some success to have it taken away.
And then it's like you publish a book. I mean, we both publish multiple books, and then it's like, well, what's the next book? We both made multiple productions and been in multiple things. It's like, well, what's the next thing? And that, I feel like if your value as a person is derived from that, I think that's the danger zone. That's where it gets exhausting.
I feel like that's why there's so much substance abuse, right?
Yeah. Because
you're just like, this is too much to deal with. Like, it's too intense and painful and scary.
And and insecure, you know, because it takes a lifetime of a career to have enough residual income coming in that you can be like, well, I'm going to be a mom now. Or like, you know.
You know what they say? It's hip to be a square. And it's also hip to make a website. So Squarespace is here to do all of the above. Yes, guys, with Squarespace, you can create a beautiful website to showcase... website? Well, you know what I mean. To showcase your work, blog, or publish content. Sell products or services of any kind. Squarespace needs to teach me how to say its name. Squarespace gives you beautiful templates created by world-class designers and the ability to customize the look and feel with just a few clicks. It's free and secure hosting with 24-hour customer support. Wow, 24/7 even. So that's what we want you to do, guys. We want you to get out of your comfort zone and go make it. You got an idea? Make it. You got a service you want to sell? Sell it. You got a website you want to build? Build it. Boom, baby. Which is why we want you to go check out squarespace.com/earbuds for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code EARBUDS to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Think it, dream it, make it. With Squarespace. Lady, you want to say hi? Could you guys hear that? I make you a website, lady, on Squarespace. Okay, back to the show.
Like, whatever happened to Freddie Prinze Jr.? Like, I think part of me is like...
I hate to say it, but the whole industry is also really different for men, too.
His dad was super famous. He was born into wealth. And he's married to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
True.
So they're fine on that Buffy residual.
But there's still... But I'm still like, oh, that's sad, though, that he's like... doesn't work anymore. Like, does he do anything?
Yeah, what do you, yeah.
But
I don't
then,
know.
Like, is it? Like, he did do movies. He did a show, right? Or something? I can't remember. It was the 90s.
No, but I see what you're saying. I follow Devon Sawa. on Instagram.
The
who
Sawa.
I was in, you know, in love with as a child.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think he just like decided to stop acting. I mean, that happened to my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he was on TV for a long time. And then it was like you book a thing here and there and then you don't. And then it's like.
What was that like? When? How old were you when his show ended?
I think I was like 11.
11?
I think I was in like sixth grade.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So what was that like 7th? In terms of like perspective of career? Like how did he handle that? Where did he go? Like,
right. I mean, I can't like totally speak for him, but then they moved out to LA and he auditioned and, you know, got some like little arcs on various TV shows and commercials or whatnot. But, you know, it's
nothing.
What do you do?
Like
do you? Again. Yeah. If you stop working, what do you do? Go work at a Home Depot. Right. And then someone's like, aren't you from that TV show?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you guys see that movie / read that book One Day?
Mm-mm. No, I don't read.
Hannah reads.
Okay.
Well, there's this really this thing I think about all the time where so there's this character who was on a show and then like the show got canceled and then he had all these personal troubles and then his friend hires him and like it's like a food production company or like natural snacks. Mm-hmm. But the way you start out at the company is everyone has to go through the same process. So he starts out at like the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And then
every day.
And so it's like,
oh, my God.
He like from his perspective, he's like the people who come in and see me and are like, weren't you on TV? They're like. To have been on TV, put on a little weight, and now be working at a coffee shop, it's like a living death.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like, why do we think that? Like if you were, if you were doing it, like you still are doing way better than most people who never even had the courage to try.
True. I think there's going to be a huge slew of that, and I don't mean to be like negative Nancy, but a huge slew of that on this generation that Hannah and I are so engulfed in of people who've had this level of success on the internet who've never had to work a normal job, like literally been doing this since they were 17. And now it's not even, oh, I can't be like working at a coffee shop and get recognized or whatever by a fan. That'd be embarrassing. It's more like I don't have any work experience, period.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, I don't know what it's like. Whoa. I don't know, like adjusting your brain to even getting paid by the hour or like a certain amount, like
or just having anything on your resume.
Yeah,
like anything. That's the thing that it's also scares me for these younger generations of like content creators that have been doing it since they were 17, mm-hmm. 19, et cetera. If you're so beholden to your success at that mm-hmm. point because mm-hmm. you have nothing else to support you.
And you think it's normal yeah. to be making that kind of
right.
money. And
it's right. like and that, we're over like.
It's like, and right. it's like, and then, yeah. You know, when people say things like, oh, I guess I'll just go work at Starbucks. I'm like, dude.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Hey, there's nothing.
They have benefits, okay?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But also like, it's not like they're just going to say yes. You still have to apply for the job and get it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a big thing, too, of people being like, well, I guess, yeah, if it doesn't work out, I guess I'll just be like an actor and I'll do movies. And you're like,
I'll just go be like a publisher at like a high powered, like really well-known.
Yeah.
That was me post-college. I was like, oh, that's not how the world works.
That's not how it
works. At all.
Even you said, I think we were on stage, maybe in Australia. I forget when it was.
Yeah.
And you were totally just joking. But you were like, you guys, we should all like, we should sell a TV show together. And Grace and I were like, we've literally pitched dozens of TV shows for 8 years that you get rejected on. You know what I mean? Like for everything that gets made, it's like there's a dozen people who are working their grind off and it's not.
I'm in year two of trying to make that lesbian rom-com and we're
by the way.
Not, I mean, fingers
crossed.
Let me
tell you. As someone who lives with two queer women, the world is depending on this lesbian rom-com.
I said I would help in any way possible.
Me too.
Well, yeah. 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 It is.
But it's tough.
It's just
tough.
But
it's very hard.
And
it's
then also it's like if you're somebody that like what I think people don't expect maybe to encounter in the entertainment industry is just like how often you're just doing nothing but waiting, mm-hmm. but you're also hurrying, but you're also like it's engulfing.
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. And it's like engulfing. It engulfs like the 360 of your life, especially if you're on camera. Then it's like, well, now I'm thinking about how I look. And it's like, wow, your job isn't just your job. Mm-mm. It's your lifestyle.
It's your lifestyle.
That's right. It.
Well, and also this is what gets me in a crazy spiral loop. Like when I think about, okay, what is life about?
I mean, that is the start of a spiral loop. If
I
ever heard
one. When have I been like the happiest in my life?
Yeah.
Like, is it worth it to kill myself?
That's for that freaking like, balance.
For this thing that's like, but like you don't even get to know if it's going to go where you want it to. And then you're going to be like, worth it to sacrifice like all this time and maybe like spending time with my loved ones and maybe just having kind
and maybe
of
just
more,
eating so many
maybe
carbs.
Maybe having a simple existence of like a simple.
But then do you have simple existence? And then it's the whole, when you're on your deathbed and you're like, what have I made of myself? And I didn't even, I should have at least tried, you know? Right. So
God damn.
To live without
that time machine.
I mean, like, I feel like if you just have to accept, you could make any choice and regret it. It's not about the choice you make. It's like, if you live with the idea that you could regret it or like you just can't. You have to find your balance. You just have to. Like with the entertainment stuff, I love this career. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love that there's a bunch of different aspects, a bunch of different skill sets. I love that sometimes it's about writing, sometimes it's about doing, sometimes about making, sometimes about thinking, sometimes it's about nothing. Like I love it and it's the best job I could ever hope for. And so I've set my goal to just be that I can sustain my life, you know, I'm not looking for these huge number one hit show on TV or anything like that. I just want to make sure I can make stuff and have that be my job. And yes. That's like my safe space.
See, my prison is I want that number one show on TV.
Yeah.
well,
so well, what is that like though? Like,
no, I mean, I have the same thing with you in that you feel like you're never clocking out.
Just so you guys know, it's 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. Okay, guys.
She checked an actual clock, you guys.
I know. Wow.
But this is great.
And you said clocking out. Guys, is this like a weird, are we in like some weird like clock joke, Illuminati?
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
I guess what you could say is that like all your life is a performance. So like any anxiety is performance anxiety.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's right.
You're writing your lines as you speak them.
Whoa. It's like you're, and also like you're always an extra in like someone else's life.
Oh wow.
This is actually something I heard said at a party at Hannah Hart's house once.
Oh. Ooh. After the vape.
But this was like 7 years ago.
Wait, you're an extra in someone else's life? Mm-hmm. Or like a supporting role, or like
you're a supporting role,
the kooky friend.
Oh, whoa!
Because that makes sometimes I'm, you know, I think about
we're all the main characters.
I'm always walking around like I'm so important.
Yeah,
no, you're not. Like everyone thinks they're the most important person.
No, really, we're but all in like the world's longest movie.
Yeah,
and we're it's like the being John Malkovich.
Yeah, well, but you should be. You should be like the main character, you know, but in a healthy way, not in like a self-absorbed narcissistic way. Okay, Mamrie, I could talk to you for hours.
I know.
You guys come back on the show.
I feel like I have total. Analyze this blue ball.
Dude, yeah.
Like, I need to keep talking.
We should do a Mamrie part two because I want to know.
I know. I want to do a Mamrie part two, too.
I got started like on YouTube exactly.
Oh.
And then, like, why she moved to LA and, like. Mm-hmm. But I remember you did a very funny around that time video about kale chips and you put kale on a chip and then ate it. And I was like,
I don't even remember it, but I'm in.
I think it was when you just moved to LA and you're like, in LA, people eat a lot of kale chips. And it looks like this.
And I put a kale on a chip.
Yeah. And I was like, this girl.
Panelize this blue balls is my favorite like sentence.
Totally.
I know. We'll definitely have to have you back. And we should also plan. I feel like for people such as yourself, we should plan like an hour and a half show. Because you have so much. Like,
we have a lot of trouble leaving the house this morning.
Yeah. I opened and shut the door three. I had to go back upstairs three times.
It happens.
Three times.
It happens.
I was like, cord, this, that. And then the third time I came down with Ella. Because she was like, I'll just hitch a ride. Because she had to go to work.
Oh my goodness.
I know. But wait, okay. So let's get one little nugget before we depart so we can feel that we've achieved some sense of analyze this ecstasy.
Yeah, I feel like I just confused your audience.
You didn't.
Here's my nugget.
Oh, mine's a question.
Mamrie has excellent bone structure.
Thank you.
Therefore, I feel like you will succeed in everything you do.
God bless. If these cheeks can cash the checks.
I think you have excellent work ethic and you have...
I like this compliments at the end.
I know.
Yeah.
Section.
I feel like
we don't do this for everybody.
I feel like you want, you know that it's a want, you know, and not like a something you're entitled to. You know that it's about working. And that is something that like, I think Mamrie's work ethic and like watching her go through the hope, rejection, disappointment, success cycle has helped me learn how to better deal with it. Because I'm just like, well, Mamrie knows it's just about keeping going. And like, you just got to go.
One of my favorites, Joan Rivers had a quote that was like, if it's not word for word, but basically, like, if you put enough shit in a pot, it'll become a soup. You know what I mean? So, like, you just keep making and making and making and making and making, right, and it'll, you know.
Yeah, you keep trying and trying. Mm-hmm. What would, before we go, for those who might be listening who have hopes of working in entertainment or becoming an actor, do you have any, like, parting words of advice?
Don't be lazy.
Like, I know that's so simple, and, like, I wish Nikes didn't have Just Do It, but literally Just Do It.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you, especially right now, I know, God, I sound like such a bitch, but, like... And when we talk about you're the protagonist in your own movie, and especially now with, like, feedback on social media and, like, constantly looking at yourself, like,
oh God,
you,
so frightening.
You are not, you don't get a free pass. Like, that's a camera on your phone. Like, you still have to work.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's just like, don't be lazy.
Don't be lazy.
Oh God, I'm already. Don't,
you're not going to sit on your couch and get famous.
Mm-mm.
Or get work.
Yeah.
Like, screw fame. Like,
yeah. If you want to, and if you want to act, like, you know, think about the careers of people like John Hamm. Oh, well, bad example, but who, or Bryan Cranston, right?
Yes.
These people would spend 20, 25 years of auditions and rejection and maybe an occasional Lowe's commercial or whatever. And then in their mid 40s, boom.
Right. Yeah. It can happen.
You have to keep going. I mean, right. I remember I had so much comfort, like, in my mid-20s when, like, nothing was happening, where it was like, well, Kristen Wiig didn't get SNL till 31, and now I'm on the other side where I'm like, and I'm 35. And, like, you know, like, and you're like, is it gonna happen?
Yeah.
And you then, know?
Yeah, I think, what about that guy from Love Actually who plays the singer? I feel like he just showed up one day and he was like 65.
Oh!
It's like, I feel like he was born old.
Yeah, because he's in a lot of Christopher Guest movies, that guy. Yeah, that's the guy who plays the rock star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was born old.
Christopher Guest movies?
Yeah.
You guys,
no.
We can have a whole...
Okay, no. Hold on.
Don't stop, because you don't know when your break is coming.
You exactly. Don't. You don't. It's a long. It's like dating. Is you just got to keep putting yourself out there if you want it. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, speaking of, I'll see you in a couple hours, because we're going to a movie together.
Yay! Oh, I can't wait. Thank you guys so much for listening. Mamrie, where can people find you if they desire to find you on the internet?
Well, they can find me on my YouTube channel, which is You Deserve a Drink, and also on my social media, which is Mametown, and on Grace Helbig and I's new podcast. This Might Get Weird. You can find it wherever you find podcasts.
Yeah, baby.
Podcastery.
Guys, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast and share it because, you know, just share it, please.
After you've heard us break down about becoming failures.
Exactly. You hold the key.
Okay, bye.